The Kurdish people have been involved with the U.S. since at least the first Gulf War in 1991, but most of us Americans don't know much about the Kurds. Veterans of the Iraq War do know and likely have a positive impression of the Kurds and their fighters, the Peshmerga. But the Kurds are not just in Iraq. They're spread across four countries. Millions of Kurds also reside in Turkey, Iran, and Syria. So the news this week got us thinking about Kurdish identity. Siobhan Fazil is a Kurd. He's also a scholar and political analyst based in Erbil, the Kurdish region of Iraq. Siobhan, I always like to start with how people communicate. So if you line up Kurdish and Arabic, can you let us hear the difference? Like, take the sentence, tonight we will eat rice. And can you say it in Kurdish and then in Arabic?
Yes. Well, thanks for having me, Marco. I'm Sho Brinzdakhom. That's Kurdish. And if I want to say it in Arabic, it will be Hellayla Anabakil Riz. So there is a big difference in terms of the words and the pronunciation of the words. The script of Kurdish language is almost as Iranian and Arabic script or letters, but they have some 6 to 8 more additional letters.
Gotcha. So let's talk about the actual borders that separate the Kurdish-speaking people. How real are those borders? I mean, are they so hard that cousins can't meet cousins?
No, the cousins can and do meet cousins. Obviously, when there is a war, when there is a conflict ongoing, it becomes more difficult. There is an imaginary Kurdistan, if we are going to be very frank, which is the Great Kurdistan that basically encompasses the Kurdish parts of the four dominant countries that you just referred to. But in reality, there is four different contexts to which the Kurds actually live in current day. People have a transnational, basically, affiliation, identity, and groupings to basically the Kurds in the southeast of Turkey, the Kurds in west of Iran, and also Kurds in the northeast of Syria. But at the same time, they are very realistic about the geopolitical makeup of the current Middle East that we are living in.
So you say imaginary Kurdistan, and that's crucial, I think, because Kurds have never had their own country. Why is that?
Well, it basically goes back to two infamous treaties in the breakup of the Ottoman Empire. These treaties are the Treaty of Sevres and the Treaty of Lausanne.
So we're talking about the end of World War One here.
Yes, the World War One, basically, when the Ottoman Empire was collapsed. In the first treaty, there was a promise to the Kurds that they will also get their own nation state. But that treaty was a few years later overruled by the second treaty, and the Kurds lost that guarantee because they were never part of these discussions and negotiations that basically led to the present geographical makeup of the Middle East.
It is hard to imagine any of the countries with Kurdish populations ever allowing the Kurds to break away and form their own country. So tell us what the Kurds want. What are the aspirations?
Well, the aspiration of every Kurd is to be able to exercise their cultural identity, and that obviously includes education in their mother tongue, being Kurdish, and a degree of autonomy or self-rule and self-governance, which is basically what the struggles and sufferings of all these parts of Kurdistan have in common. The same aspirations that Kurds in Turkey and in Syria and Iran are, at least at this moment, are aspiring for, to be able to speak their mother tongue and educate their kids and themselves in their mother tongue and to exercise a degree of self-governance.
Siobhan Fazil is a Kurdish scholar and political analyst speaking with us from Erbil in Iraq. Siobhan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.